Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Kara Hart and Don Wick. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says the grain market today really fairly quiet in general.
Corn and soybeans, some selling in the wheat once again. The corn market here finding support from that private export sale announcement this morning, while soybeans getting a little boost out of the CONAB numbers that showed a bit smaller than the last report they had in January.
Cattle market, though, has been under some technical pressure while the hog market is higher.
April cattle kind of leading the way down along with February. Had 50 deliveries against the Feb cattle contract. Plus, the market rallied up yesterday to near contract highs and failed to move into a contract high. So I think we're attracting a little bit of maybe some profit taking on the move or a little bit of technical selling in cattle. But, of course, we're waiting for cash trade to develop. And it looks like this week's cash going to be probably a steady to dollar higher on a live basis. $1 to $2 higher is how I would view a dress trade this week with some adverse weather throughout the Midwest. And that weather is also supporting cash hogs this morning and giving us some short covering in the hog market.
Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic says traders would like to see an agreement on keeping this government funded.
The market seemed to like the talk, at least, or like the idea that the government may remain open. And as grain and livestock traders, it would be nice for us to avoid another shutdown. I mean, it's really just a pain to not have data and then to watch the government as they play catch-up here and it takes so long. You know, we're coming up to a period here where the government reports start to play a more integral role. You know, prospective plantings is only 6 or 7 weeks away at this point. So we would really like to keep the government open, certainly.
Well, the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo is underway in Fargo. Thoughts go to spring. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has one perspective on the spring outlook in this update.
Randy, after a long, tough fall, farmers are hoping for an early spring, but DTN meteorologist Bryce Anderson did not paint a very optimistic picture about that this morning.
Yeah, Don, I'm concerned about spring being kind of a late season to get underway. We've had a big influence from a pretty large scale round of upper level low pressure that doesn't appear that it's going to modify here very much through the next 2 weeks. And by that point, here we are at the end of February and dealing with fairly extensive snow cover, some colder air, and a real slow situation as far as improving things. And
once we get past a late start, Anderson says the weather for the growing season itself looks better.
Once we get into May, June, and July, I think that we will have fairly mild temperatures and seasonal conditions that will allow growing degree days to accumulate and that sort of thing. So I think the biggest issue is just simply going to be getting crops in the ground and then up and going.
AgriTalk host and market analyst Chip Flory was not able to make the event today due to travel delays. NDSU Extension grain marketing specialist Frayne Olson took that speaking slot this morning. The Northern Corn and Soybean Expo continuing until late this afternoon here in Fargo. Reporting Agriculture's Business from the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
And while the U.S.-China trade talks continue this week in Beijing, local farmers attending the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo are eager for an agreement to be reached. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart has more on trade and exports being the focus in Fargo.
The U.S. soybean industry is looking for different markets to move an excess supply of soybeans. U.S. Soybean Export Council CEO Jim Sutter says the next Chinese markets are places with big populations and developing economies,
growing incomes, and low protein consumption. So think of India, think of Nigeria, think of Myanmar. So we're trying to work long term in those markets to try and develop new markets. And we're also working with all of our old standby markets, Europe, Japan, Mexico, to try and make sure that they're growing their share of U.S. soybeans that they import.
Castleton, North Dakota farmer Joe Morgan knows building good relationships takes time.
We have that relationship with China. We're hoping they don't forget about it. We haven't forgot about them. And if the bosses can figure something out, we'll go back to being friends.
North Dakota Soybean Council Executive Director Stephanie Sinner says the markets are moving, but it's not the rush to the Pacific Northwest North Dakota farmers were expecting.
We are storing beans, but you know, it's a refrigerator outside, so they've gone into storage pretty well. So we're like I said, we're optimistic that things are going to come around, and our sister organizations, both at state and national levels, watching that policy side and waiting, because we do need the markets to come back.
Reporting agriculture's business from the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo in Fargo, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
The Association of Equipment Manufacturers says January sales of U.S. combines and four-wheel drive tractors, as well as the two-wheel drive tractors, increased over last year. AEM says U.S. January four-wheel drive tractor sales were up 38.2% over last year. Combine sales, 14.5% more. Total U.S. sales of two-wheel drive tractors were up 4.9%, with the under-40-horse tractors seeing an increase of 13.3%. However, sales of tractors between 40 and 100-horse down 6.8%, and sales of the 100-plus-horsepower tractors was down 3.5%. The Russian government plans to create a new system to coordinate information sharing between the state and private grain sellers. That move is seen as a way for the Russian government to have a more significant role in managing supplies. The Russian Agriculture Ministry expects to have the new organization in place sometime in April. USDA will be hosting a Farm Bill listening session February 26th. Public is invited to offer input on the programs overseen by the Farm Service Agency, Risk Management Agency, and Natural Resources Conservation Service. The three agencies are looking for ideas to simplify farm program implementation and improve customer service. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. Sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota House Agriculture and Food Finance and Policy Committee began its budget discussions for the 2021 fiscal year this morning. Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson began his presentation with the mission of the Department of Agriculture.
You know, our mission is really important. That's something that I look at and talk to Governor Walz about. It's pretty simple, but it really encompasses a lot of what we do, enhancing Minnesotans' quality of life and ensuring the integrity of our food supply, which is very important, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agriculture economy. And so we know that's been, heard the other day we're in the fifth year of a three-year downturn. So continuing to do what we can to honor that mission.
Along with covering base funding, Peterson told lawmakers there are some areas that do remain unfunded.
And you can see some of the things that we say have no funding for 20 and 21. And so just to highlight, a couple of them would be like the noxious weed invasive grant. So that's some of the money we've used to fight Palmer amaranth does not have base funding for 2021. Industrial hemp, another big piece as we move forward, does not have base funding.
Minnesota Department of Agriculture's Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division Director Josh Stamper laid out the role of the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division to the Minnesota House Ag Committee.
PFMD is the lead agency for pesticide and fertilizer regulation in Minnesota. We're also have the responsibility, as Representative Hansen referred to, is for protection of groundwater from agricultural chemicals. We also have significant responsibility with emergency response and responding to spills and cleanups of agricultural chemicals. We also conduct collections of waste pesticide products.
Stamper says the budget for the PFMD is about $30 million a year.
We have 631 active ingredients that we register and regulate, and in a normal year we sell about 96 million pounds of agricultural chemicals. We're also responsible for applicator licensing. We issue about 30,000 applicator licenses to private applicators like farmers who want to use restricted use products, commercial and non-commercial applicators, and then also structural applicators. So if there is a reason for one of your constituents to interact with the agency, it's primarily going to be through our licensing mechanisms.
Simple supply-demand issues kept ethanol prices lower last year, and it had nothing to do with the renewable fuel standard RIN prices. University of Illinois economist Scott Irwin has released this study. Research report found U.S. ethanol production was simply too much for the domestic and export markets to handle, and not the small refinery waivers provided by EPA. In North Dakota legislature, the Appropriations Committee, they're working on a funding bill for House for the agriculture. Representative Mike Brandenburg says NDSU Extension will likely get a fair treatment to replenish priorities in this session. Crossover Day is coming up at the end of the week.
Then we get into the second half where they make muster, then it gets a lot of more debate, and it gets a lot more serious because, you know, every bill is important to somebody, but some people, you try to work with them and you have to see what happens, but you got to get the votes. If you don't get the votes, they don't make the trip. That's kind of what we're working on with a lot of those issues.
The National Wildlife Federation is suing EPA for failing to consult with wildlife officials before expanding ethanol production under the renewable fuel standard. National Wildlife Federation claims the RFS destroyed millions of acres of native grasslands and damaged important habitat in the Prairie Pothole region. Well, after 5-plus years of drought, portions of Australia have received nearly 2 years' worth of rain in a couple of weeks. Australian Agriculture reports as many as 300,000 head of cattle were lost due to flooding in northeastern Australia. A single ranch had losses approaching 30,000 head. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota dairy farmers are focusing on their year-end business. With this comes a lot of decision-making. Minnesota Milk Producers Association Executive Director Lucas Sostrom says farmers are either exiting the business, switching to beef, or deciding how to expand.
Kids that are coming in are really looking at it in one of the hardest times and seeing what they need to do if they're going to make it work. So I'm not hearing much in terms of straight policy, but I am hearing a lot of people trying to figure out what is the next 5, 10, and 20 years going to look like based on what it looks like today.
Sostrom says there is interest in the new dairy program in the Farm Bill and questions about margin protection program payments from November and December.
Right now, the best projections that we've seen, which are not official government data, is that that's not going to happen and we're going to be 30 cents off. But I think, so those projections are only projections, and we don't know with the shutdown what the numbers will come in. But I think the questions are kind of showing that farmers are just hoping for some action fast. Going forward, we've probably still got about 45 days here, hopefully less, until the program signed up.
Golden Harvest Seed has named Steve Knorr of Minot as the 2018 National Seed Advisor of the Year. Knorr operates Advanced Seed and hosts on-site customer events to demonstrate local seed, crop protection, and field management trials. Checking our markets before we leave you this afternoon. March wheat, Minneapolis, continuing 2 3/4 higher, 576.5. July is up 1.5. Corn is trading 5 higher in the March. December corn's up 3 3/4 at 401.5. March beans, 11 3/4 higher, 916 3/4. New crop November's up 10.5 at 959.5. April live cattle down 22 cents at 128.07. The August feeder cattle are 10 cents higher at 151.72. April lean hogs up $1.45. On our farm calendar, there are a lot of items going on here yet in the next couple of weeks. Go to rrfn.com and scroll down to toward the bottom of the page. You'll find the calendar there. These are just a few of the items going on. The joint North Dakota State University Extension, University of Minnesota Extension Certified, Advanced Crop Advisors Workshop continues today and also tomorrow. That goes on in Fargo. National Ethanol Conference goes through tomorrow as well. This is the Red River Farm Network.